Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship and the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, come on, praise God, praise God. Now, y'all know that I'm a fun person. I like to have fun. But when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul, when I think about the goodness of Jesus, when I think about the goodness of Jesus, y'all, but normally about 3 o'clock, that's funeral service time. They normally have funerals around 3 o'clock, but I'm up here giving my testimony. So I need to understand something. At 8, I was supposed to be dead. I was hit by a car. Around high school, I didn't like myself. We're getting picked on a lot. And nobody probably know this, but I wanted to take myself out. Okay? When me and my wife first got into a house we're in now, we had a gas leak. We should have been blown up and dead. But God. But God. And then, a couple years ago, my wife had to take a little journey and let me be by myself for a while. For my disobedience. So, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to stand here. And see, this morning I was nervous. Stomach toe up. Didn't eat nothing. And I see y'all. I don't know who's where. But all I know is I'm going to praise him. Okay? So I'll see y'all after service. Okay? I know my pastor's over here. I know the minister staff over here. I know my wife there because I got to find my wife. My kids is right there. My mama's back there. And I'll see y'all after service, but I'm going to stand here and I'm going to praise God. Okay? First, I want to give honor to God. Because grace and mercy is something, guys. It is something. Like I said, I should have been dead a long time ago. And it's crazy because that generational curse is serious. It's serious. So I got hit by a car when I was 8. My niece right there got hit by a car when she was 8. So my children, AJ didn't go outside when he was 8. Cam ain't going outside when he was 8. It ain't happening. But I want to give honor to God. I want to give recognition to my mother, who is 3 rows back. Raise your hand, mama. I want to give recognition to my mother-in-law, who is on the 2nd row. My godmother. My pastor. Bless you. Pastor McTillman. I know Pastor for a while, but Pastor McTillman, we've been through a lot. I did not like that woman. So when she used to come to the house and I know I did something wrong, I would go this way. Because she saw it on my face where either I messed up or I was about to get something I should have no business doing, and she could just read it on me. So now I just go straight to her. But lastly, I got to recognize my wife. And this was going to get very teary-eyed because I promised her almost 13 years ago that I would be the man that God called me to be when I said I do. And down the line, I messed up. I'm not perfect. I messed up. And she had to separate herself along with the boys so that I can get face down with God and just repent for everything. And for those months, it was ugly. I was meeting my wife in Food Lion's parking lot, switching my boys out. I would meet them 7 in the morning to take them to school, and then pick them up to take them back to my mother-in-law's house, knowing that I was going back home by myself. But every day I was going back home to myself, God was working on me. Every time. And it got to the point to where I stopped worrying about my relationship with my wife and started focusing on him. So if I did that, she came back home. So the devil thought they had us. But he turned it. The devil thought he had us. But he turned it. Have you turned something in your life today? He turned it. Y'all weren't expecting that one, were you? All right, so the title of my sermon is Manufacturer Recall. All right, so if you remember back in Lamentations 3:21, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. So before I start the sermon, I'm going to go back to some verses. Actually, I'm going to go back through all the verses and just, we're going to marinate on it. Verse 19 says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I remember then, and my soul is downcast with me. Yet, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his passions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. These five verses just talk about how Jeremiah is doing nothing but experiencing God's discipline. Jeremiah is surrounded by the destruction of Jerusalem. Even though he felt like this country had been robbed of everything, he still showed compassion towards God. And Jeremiah knew that God's compassion is greater than any sin. So you remember when we had to discipline our kids, and many of us don't like the idea of having to do it, but we recognize that sometimes it has to be done. And then we end up saying, you know I did it because I love you. It didn't feel good. Sometimes he has to discipline us or to teach us a lesson because he knows what's best for us. In the book of Lamentations, you have Jeremiah, who is known as a weeping prophet. Now, a prophet is a person chosen to speak for God, to communicate his message clearly through God's chosen people. Jeremiah grieves deeply because of the destruction of Jerusalem and the devastation of his nation. So when you think of weeping, you think of tears. Tears can be caused by irritation or laughter, but they're usually associated with weeping, sorrow, and grief. When we cry, friends inquire about what is wrong or how can they help. There are different catalysts for crying: a child being disciplined by his parents, a player losing a championship game, a loved one losing a family member to an illness, an adult frustrated with a dramatic situation, or a baby crying for need of food. That's my cam. The book of Lamentations consists of songs and poems written by Jeremiah expressing his grief after he saw the fall of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. The Babylonians were from Babylon, and they were exiled, in other words, banned from their homeland. The purpose of the poems were to teach God's people that disobedience would bring immense suffering and distress towards themselves if they did not ask forgiveness for their rebellious sin against God's command. I believe the destruction of Jerusalem affected Jeremiah for two reasons. Jeremiah was an eyewitness to the promise of destruction that was caused by the people of Jerusalem's disobedience. And two, it impacted him so much because of how it broke God's heart to see his people rebel against him. So how does this scripture relate to the sermon? According to Webster Dictionary, the definition of recall is to bring a fact, event, or situation back into one's mind, especially so as to recount it to others or an officially order to return to a place. In other words, to give an account, narrate, or relate information to another person to cause a change in an action or thought. So question, how many of you have owned a car? How many of you have ever owned a Toyota? Have anybody who had a Toyota, if any of your Toyota has been recalled before? Airbag. Has anyone ever had a recall in their car, period? Did you know in 2009, Toyota had one of the biggest recalls in America with over 9 million cars for accelerated gas stuck to the floor, which means that you can be driving down the road and they're going to just take off. My wife had a car like that. As most of us know, Toyota is one of the most respected cars out today. And when you think of something that was made with care, precision, and safety, I guarantee you that Toyota will probably come in your mind. There were over 9 million cars for the gas pedal getting stuck, but yet Toyota is still one of the top-selling cars in America. Just the thought of 9 million cars on the road daily around that time frame is disturbing. What's even more disturbing is that, according to the executive director of Toyota, they warned customers about the recall and encouraged them to bring it in for a free repair or to avoid a deadly car accident. Still, to this day, there are approximately 30% of cars that have not received their service for recall because they had not responded to the notice. So how does this relate to Jeremiah and Jerusalem? There are many of us who ignore God's call. There are many of us who ignore God's recall notice. Regardless of the make and the model of all units known as human beings, we're being recalled by the manufacturer. This is due to the first models ever made, which is Adam and Eve, resulted in the same defect. This defect, known as a serious internal nonsense, better known as sin, yet His grace and mercy through our repentance gives us hope. According to the Bible, Acts 3:19, repent and return to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Unlike the defect that was found in so many Toyota, the defect that we have in us is not the Maker's fault. The Bible says that in Genesis 1:31, all that He made, He has made very good. In other words, God, the manufacturer, made us in His perfect image with no defects, but sin has made us to receive a recall notice. Since we are all born in sin, let's see what, when you're going for a recall, some of the things that they may check. One, the engine, or in our words, the heart. In order for an engine to run efficiently, there must be clean oil in it. In order for the heart to function, the heart must pump blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, throughout the body. At any point without either one of those, it can shut down. In Ezekiel 36:26-27 reads, "A new heart also I give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of our flesh of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." So the last part, heart of flesh, caught my eye, because the Hebrew word for flesh is barsara, bar, which means body. The root of barsara is basar, which means to be fresh. In other words, God would take our old hearts, turn them into new hearts, to be fresh or to be new. God still changes people by changing their heart. His love for us outweighs any problem that we have that sin has created. Once you repent and give your life to Christ, we have assurance that He will give us a new heart. Second thing they may check is, how is the tune-up? The definition of tune-up is to ensure operation at peak efficiency. Peak efficiency, what do you mean by that? That means in order to move, think, respond, create a greatest amount of energy, Romans 12:12 says, and not be conformed to this world, but yet be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. In a tune-up, one of the things that a mechanic may check is the spark plugs. A bad spark plug could lead to a misfire, which will cause the car to stall, not to backfire or mess up the exhaust pipe. This goes for the same in Christ. When our mind is not tuned up to Him, it can lead to all types of issues such as being disobedient, unforgiveness, pride for bitterness, and more will all lead to mental and physical destruction. Third, the body of the car. In other words, our physical appearance. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." When you go in for a recall, the manufacturer may check the body of the car for any dents, paint chippings, or any cosmetic damage, as you would rarely see him check the inside. But we serve a God who is the opposite. He does not care about your outer appearance. He focuses on what you look like on the inside and what is coming from the heart. For example, when Samuel was looking at Israel's next king, he wanted someone to look like Saul, because Saul had the look of a king. But God warned him about looking at the outward appearance alone. When you look at someone just on the outside, they may outlook some true qualities or also a person's true value. You see, we serve a God who can care less about our outward appearance, but looks at our faith and character. But since he created us and is the only one in that omnipresence, he's the only one that can truly judge us. 4, fulfilling the recall, restoration. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and hope." Now, if you go back to the beginning of the recall, the first thing that he checked was the engine or the heart. 2, he conducted a tune-up or mind tuning. He inspects the body of the car, overall physical appearance. And now everything is restored, fixed. It is time for us to move forward and do what God has called us to do on this earth. When Toyota had the major recall, they knew they had to make it right for the customer, because there was plans in the future for the company had for their brand, no different from us. When God has done all the recall work, he plans for us to have a true, authentic relationship with him and go out to spread the good news, which is Jesus Christ. Last, when all that is done, you come into an insurance and the warranty. When you purchase a new car or have to get a car fixed, majority of the time, they will either try to offer you some type of warranty. When they offer you a warranty, most of the time they know that the part they gave you is not so good and you'll be back within the next couple of years. In other words, they are anticipating that it will expire, terminate, run out, or perish. With God, his warranty does not expire. His warranty is unconditional. His warranty is forgiven. His warranty is love. His warranty is merciful. His warranty is patient. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that hear to my word and believe on him that sent me have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, because it is passed from death unto life." When you hear everlasting life, you are talking about being with God forever. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. By the way, if you ever have to get a recall notice, take this number down. 772-937. This number is prayer. Choose option 5, which is for grace. After that, you will be transferred to the repentance department. And most of the time, when you get to the repentance department, you will talk to Jesus. After you choose number 8, which is for new beginnings, and last, before you hang up, choose option number 7, because everything is perfect. In Jesus' name, it's person decision time with everyone standing.